One of Australia's greatest ever, not footballers, but cricketers, greatest sporting icons, I reckon. He would be. And one of Australia's
iconic.
One of them is Alan Border. And it's about a year to the day before Australia hosts the two T20 World Cups. Next year, the women's is in February and March. And today's 1 year to go until the men's tournament begins October 18. Alan Border, part of Fox Cricket's coverage of the entire summer and a legend of the game, has been good enough to join us to talk about the date that is a year away from coming to fruition from the men's game. Alan, thanks for joining us on the show.
No problems, Andy.
Have you fallen for the T20 game? It wasn't around, obviously, through your career, and there were some sceptics about this, you know, when it first came on the scene. But have you fallen for T20 cricket?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I'm a traditional game man, really, and that's what I grew up with, and mainly what I played. Then the 50-over game came along, and I suppose as the game gets shortened, we've seen shortened versions as well. But I like what it does, what it brings to the table as far as, introducing people who are not necessarily huge cricket fans to our game. It will be in a short form. It's plenty of action. There's lots of good skills on the show as well, but it's more the power hitting game, etc. So I would love to have a crack at it, I must admit. But I enjoy it. But a preference for test cricket, but I do enjoy the 2020 game.
Alan, did any of it give you any sort of heartburn at all? When you saw the first ramp shot, did it sort of, were you on board completely, or was there a bit of tusking at the time?
Well, I suppose, yes. Look, there's been some inventive shots, isn't there, developed in recent times. Reverse sweep is just par for the course these days, but the ramp shots and all sorts of different activities that the batsmen get up to. But I suppose it's that type of game, isn't it? And me growing up, In my era, it was just basically long-form cricket, so you aspired to be a test cricketer, so you sort of prepared yourself accordingly. So, I really enjoy the innovation that 2020 cricket in particular has brought to the game. You sort of sit back as an old-timer and shake your head sometimes, but then you think, how good are these skills becoming, as far as what is achievable with the bat in the hand, like 10 runs and over was just, you just had no chance back in the day. But now it's they don't even worry about that sort of figure. So, it's just amazing what the innovation that the game's brought to the table.
Is it a topic of conversation amongst old teammates that you've had at either, state level or international level about talking about, what it would have been like to play these shorter form games and which players might have been best suited to it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Look, we talk about a lot when we do get together in reunions of, the good old days. But, all of us are a bit envious at some, stages because, you'd love to have a crack at it because I think it just frees you up. You don't know what you're capable of in a test match scenario where, you've got time on your hands and you play, I suppose, within yourself to a certain degree. Whereas 2020 cricket, you can just go out there and just expand. You don't know how you would have approached the game, but it would have been good to have a crack at it. We all, say the same thing, and we quite like the pay checks that some of the guys are getting as well.
Right.
A bit envious of that, I have to admit. But, I suppose the actual game would have been, it just looks like great fun.
Out of all the guys that you played with, I reckon Dean Jones would be the one that would think that he'd be best suited to it, Alan. But leave him aside and through modesty yourself out of the equation, out of all the players you played with, who do you reckon would have been the most suited to T20 cricket?
That's a good question. I mean, like Simon O'Donnell, he was a very good 50-over cricketer in his own right. So I think he would have taken it to the 2020 game because, bat and bowl, all-round capabilities. I'll tell you who would have been real good that I played against was Viv Richards.
Oh, yes.
He would have been fairly handy.
He would have been good at about 15 sports, I reckon, Alan.
Oh, well, that's right. But, it's very annoying. But, he would have been pretty handy. But I think a lot of the guys, once you've got enough skills to play test match cricket, I honestly think that you could convert them. Some better than others, obviously. But you could sort of convert so that you could play a more expansive game, which is 2020 cricket, particularly from a batting point of view. The bowlers, DK Lilly wouldn't have enjoyed it, the way he bowled, because he bowled such an immaculate line of length, but he would have developed, slower balls and Yorkers and things like that. So, I think, the guys with the skills would have been able to develop, you know, to the 2020 game.
Have you got a theory that the girls have won the World Cup four times, that the fellas haven't been able to win it yet, Alan? Have you got a theory as to why the boys haven't quite been able to master internationally the T20 format yet?
The girls are better than us.
Well, that might be right. It is a super team. They are a super team at the moment.
They've got a great team. We're sort of fortunate at the moment. We've got a great era of girls that are playing. There's probably four or five that are going to be in our best ever. Conversations going forward. So that's one reason. They play a lot more of that form of the game than we do. In recent years, obviously, the Big Bash has been a runaway bestseller, and I think that's developed. We're developing, slowly but surely, our 2020 skills. Selectors probably haven't quite worked out which way they're going to go with how we put a 2020 team together. For an example, like Steve Smith's, probably going to get picked in our 2020 team, but he hardly plays the game.
Exactly.
So we should be looking at probably the best of the Big Bash type team, I think. All the guys that are playing a lot of 2020 cricket, they should be the folks more considered than, someone like a Steve Smith, even though he's our best player. He just doesn't play the game, that much. So just little things like that that, whoever's going to be the new 2020 selector will have to consider going forward.
What did you think when you heard about the Mitch Marsh story? Frustration, in he goes, punches a wall, breaks a hand. What was your initial reaction when you heard the story, Alan?
reaction to getting out in a cricket match, we all get frustrated. The good old fashioned just fling the bat around the room is one thing. And then you look at your favourite bat and you think, oh no, what have I done? But punching the wall, that's silly. But look, it has happened in the past. He's not the first bloke to have done something like that or something similar. So, it's a hard lesson, isn't it? When he played in the last Test match Australia played. We've got a big summer coming up, and he's out, sitting on his backside for the next three or four weeks at least, and nursing a sore hand.
Yeah, Walls don't often lose those fights, Alan. They've got a pretty good record, I think.
It's funny about that. I think they haven't lost a count yet. I don't think they have.
Hey, Alan, I want to segue off that you referenced that a nice or your favourite cricket bat. But as a young kid, your iconic bat was the Duncan Fernley, and you don't see the Duncan Fernley around too much anymore. What happened with them?
Yeah, look, fantastic English brand. Duncan Fernley is an actual person, a bat maker. I think he lost his way. He became chairman of the Worcestershire County Cricket Club and spent too much time, down entertaining the troops at the county ground and not enough time making cricket bats.
Shaving the willow. Have you got any old Duncan Fernleys sort of stashed away, or did you hang on to some?
I have got a couple lying around at home here, but my young bloke, he looks at them, they're half the size of his bat, and he plays third grade.
Yeah, right.
The bats now.
Those new bats are like super bats, aren't they?
Duncan Fernley.
Yeah, right.
Oh, the new bats, how they're made, putting them together. I mean, seriously, they're twice the size of my old bat, and basically pick up and weigh the same. So whatever they're doing to the willow, it's amazing. The size of the bats is quite extraordinary.
It always reminded me, reminds me hearing you and Bob talk about this, Alan. It was a good, I'm not saying this because we're talking to you, but it was a good player's bat. It always looked like if you had a good, no matter what grade of cricket you were playing in, if a bloke walked out with a Duncan Fernley, you thought, oh, this bloke's pretty serious and he must be pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Did you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. They're the best bat. In fact, I sort of got to a point in my career, I'd sort of fiddle around with cricket bats to a certain degree, and I basically just said to myself, I'm sick and tired of, trying to get bats that's, not breaking and all the rest of it. I just, what's the best bat? And I just, rang up Duncan Fernley and got a deal done because I just thought they were the best bat. So, yeah, you're right. They were a special bat for the day. But, sadly, maybe in England there's a bit around, but you don't see anything globally in my trips around the place, you don't see them at all.
So when you had that deal, I don't know how much you got paid unless you want to tell us, but what sort of access to their equipment did you have? Was it? Did they just have an endless supply? Just however many, come in and see us whenever you want, or they just sent out like 25 bats a summit? Or how did it work back in those days?
No. Well, I mean, you could have not 25 a summer, but Duncan himself knew your specifications. Yeah, I like to use about 2 pound 8, 2 pound 9 ounce bat. That's, you know, everyone gets a bit finicky, you know, at that level of the game, and you know, there's a certain width of handle and that sort of thing. So he knew basically the sort of bat I liked. So he'd just make them, you know, a couple up, and he'd send them out from time to time as, you know, on request, basically. So simple as that. But I wasn't like Smithy, who carries around about 10 bats at any given time. So
Andy,
I used to take one I used and one I was breaking in.
Wants 25. Oh, how many do you have at Marcelin, Andy? What were you doing to him, Andy?
I used to pinch bats off of a mate of mine who played a very high standard of cricket. He didn't even know I was nicking his bats. But he's got hold of that one. I pinched that one and that's it. It's gone. Hey, Alan, there's a lot to look forward to. Tickets are on sale today. T20WorldCup.com. They go on sale. Prices starting at $5 for kids and $20 for adults. The WBBL starts tonight. The female domestic T20 comp. The men's isn't too far away. There's a lot of T20 cricket to get our heads around in the next couple of months and a lot to look forward to. Your voice will be right across the soundtrack of the summer on Fox Cricket, mate. We appreciate you joining us on the show this afternoon. Thanks for being part of it.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Good on you, Alan. Alan Border joining us.